Fear my words, oh, I thought you meant with it. Well, that's one thing that I've lost is my hearing.
Well, you said you work outside a lot.
Oh, yes.
Hunting and logging.
Logging, yeah. Snowshoeing, I love to snowshoe. Years back, when I was up on the farm, was my brother-in-law, the one I was telling you about there. He used to be up to the farm 2/3 of the time when he was in high school, anyway. And we would take snowshoes and put them around on, put snowshoes on our feet. And we had skis, and we'd put them over our shoulder, and we would hike clear to the top of where sugar bush is now and ski down old log roads. And then put the snowshoes on again and hike back up and maybe make sometimes twice on a weekend, Sunday or something like that. We never did on Saturday, but on a Sunday that was one of the recreations that we had.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah.
So you were skiing at Sugar Bush.
Oh, yes, before there was any trails or anything else, down old log roads and everything else, yes. Yeah.
But where'd you get the skis?
Made right here in Waitsfield. Well, it's where Old Times is. There's a little dam. Well, they got a dam there now, but it used to be a building where that building across the, I think it's Sharp Skis or Motorcycle Shop or whatever it is across the little brook there. A fellow named Mr. Newcomb. He used to be a wheelwright, and he made sleds for the kids and everything. Oh, God, he would make sleds all the time for people. And he's the one my grandfather took him down and had. Ed and I both had a pair of skis made down there, and it cost $3 a pair. Ed's were 6 foot and something, and mine were a little shorter. We had them, and then of course every year you had to take them down to steam them and turn the toes up, because they'd flatten right out just as flat as could be. And I think, I don't know, I've been going to Ed, last time that I talked, knew about it, he still had his old pair that he had up there, and his antiques that he's got in the old schoolhouse up there. I don't know, I wish he'd get that thing set up so that he's got stuff in there. I don't know, you've probably never been in that.
No.
Oh, God.
Is he gonna set it up as a museum or?
Every time he goes, he buys some more and brings it in, puts it in there, and there isn't room enough to even get in the building now, hardly. Yeah, but he's got some beautiful antique stuff in there.
I was going to ask you, and I guess I forgot to ask him, do you have all photographs of the farm?
Oh, yes. Yeah. It ran along for years. Before, of course, nobody ever thought, you know, it was going to go. And finally, all we had was a small snapshot. So my mother asked us one time, she said, would you kids like a picture of this farm if I could get it? And we told her naturally yes. So she took it, somebody took it and blew it up for her. And she made it. Yeah, and it's,
I think it's in here.
I'm sure it will be way in the bottom of that.
Oh, no, I think I know where it is.
Yes, it was, you had to know what the farm was like, the same as her farm up there. She used to be all open up where Ski Valley Acres is up through there. You could, well, she's got pictures of that, where you can stand down and look where the old farm occurred at the top of the mountain almost, all open, not a tree in sight. That's how it's grown up so fast since, and that's why I like to see these places that are kept open, a lot of them. But, because say somebody comes in and offers you what they do for land and things, you, and the young folks don't want, well, they just can't. Young folks couldn't farm today if they had to go out and buy the whole thing. My God, that's why the farmers are in such a mess as they are now. Ed was fortunate when he bought his up there, and he just bought on the other two or three farms with it, and he just got good buys on them, and he at just the right time, and then he went and sold it, of course, but I guess that one is sold. They can't develop on it any of the open meadow. I think his has got to be.
Well, DeFreeze is, David is renting from him, isn't he?
Yeah, David rents, I guess, all of the farm. Yeah, he uses the barn now, milking the cows at night in there. And Gordy's just setting up a sugar place. They've got a, I think Gordy and Ned have got a 5-year lease or something like that on, or did that when they sold it, on the sugar place.
Yeah, because he said his son was.
Yeah, Gordy is, he's already started to tap, Gordy has.
Really? Something early.
Pipe in.
Oh.
Yeah, but you see, they've got them today where you could tap in December, and there's a pill. You put a pill in a damn tap hole, and it keeps you just as moist. Oh, sure, that's what all the farmers do now, they tap. That's why they don't have to wait so long, see, is. And, of course, they don't have the old hand bar that we used to have to tap with it. But those are one of the two things that I always liked was sugaring. And I always loved sugaring, God, I loved it. No, there isn't much of this land from here to Granville that I haven't traveled over. Camel's Hump, Faiston, and over the other side of the mountain, all through Starksboro and all through there, during hunting sometime or other.
What's your favorite piece?
Of land? Way back in the basin. Yeah, Finn Basin, what we call Finn Basin.
Now, why was it called Finn Basin?
Well, a family out beyond Guy Livingston, way out to the end. This old cellar hole is still there. There used to be a family by the name of Finn. The sign they've got up is some other, they made a misspelling on it, F-I-N-N. And apparently that's where it got its name from. And at one time it was, well, you wouldn't get many people going there hunting because they was afraid they were going to get lost. But in the last 30 years or so, of course, they put log roads all through it, so there's no way. In fact, I took Art Williams and Roland Palmedo and Henry Perkins and put a ski, cross-country ski trail through there. Took them in and showed them where to go, where the best terrain was. And it goes through and goes through over in the French Basin on the North Faiston side, and then through Huntington and comes out over in Huntington. They use it for snowmobiling too a lot now. It's a real natural, oh no, God, I've gotten, of course, my two boys that I got, and they know that's where we've hunted most all the time. And of course, another one's down here in Stetson Hollow and Granville Woods and Austin Hollow, all of those. I've hunted with my father when I was 7, 8 years old, and same as my two boys. You lost it?
Well, I can't find them where I put them in the album. The picture of the farm.
I think that's where it is. But we have a time sometimes of trying to find them. In fact, my sister, Madeline, who had just gone up to New York, because I have a nephew up there that has got all kinds of old pictures.
Of the farm?
Taken up the farm and everything. Oh, and we never had them.
Is she going to bring them back, I hope?
She's going to bring them back or try to. He brought him here, the family reunion 2 years ago, but he took him right back with him. He wouldn't leave him for anybody, so she's gone up, and I've got a sister that lives up there, my youngest sister. And they're going to try to get him and bring him back so we can have copies of different.
Great.
There's one in there special we want is of my two aunts way back, oh God, I don't know, must be in the teens, early 12, 15, 18, before World War I, anyway. And they're boiling sap up on the old farm with my grandfather fixed them up with an old big kettle and a stick through it so they can raise it up and down, and it shows them over there, and that's one picture nobody's got at all with. My aunt was, one of them was a funny, funny woman, and she took all of this stuff from my mother after my father died and all of them, and she took it and she gave it all to him, everything. And of course, we're a family, we didn't want any trouble, so we just let it, dropped it all. But there's a lot of stuff like that, and a lot of pictures she burned, took them right out and burned them. She said, oh yeah.
Because you can get good quality copies now.
Oh, yes, yeah, you can. And like I say, we never, no trouble. No, I don't think we ever had a squabble in them. Oh, we had kids stuff, but close families, both of them. Our family's close. Yeah, our family's close to us. Yeah. But we have to live here and we can't get them all in here now.
Well, yeah.
They're in a hurry trying to find something.
No, don't.
That's a picture of Ed and Clesson that's happened to open up that was in there.
Oh, that's great. The old car in the background.
It's not in there, Clesson.
You sure?
Yeah.
Well, I had it not long ago from somewhere, then it must
be. I found there's a picture in here of the farm, a snapshot.
Well, that's the one it was taken from.
Well, it's not a close-up, it shows the buildings more. Well, there's a picture of the...
Well, there it is.
Oh, look at that.
There it is, Ron, that's it.
Yeah, but the other one shows it up a little closer, doesn't it? The other picture.
Look at all the barns.
Oh yeah. See, this was the cow barn that went this way,
mm-hmm.
and this horse barn over here.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we kept the pigs down under here.
Mm-hmm.
This was the what we call the young cattle barn, where we kept 18-20 young cattle. And then this is the old woodshed,
mm-hmm.
the corn crib. And above that's another one you can't see, but this is the old house with a porch on it.
Mm-hmm. Stone wall.
Stone wall.
Did you build that?
No, I didn't, but I put a lot of stones on it probably when it was on the farm.
Now, is this your father here?
Now, that is, that is my grandfather and my great uncle. They're the two that met.
Oh, this is Fred.
Yeah,
and
that's Fred. There's my father. One of the team horses.
Mm. Yeah, because you must have farmed all with horses.
Oh yes, all. Never had a tractor on the farm.
Now where would this
be? That's when, up on the old farm, that's when I was going to high school.
You're way up there, aren't
you? Yep, getting ready to go in the morning with the horse. And that's my grandfather and grandmother. This thing, see this building here?
Mm-hmm.
That was solid full of wood all the time. And then we had another one up above. This is where we used, that's what we called the corn crib. You can see the end of, that's where we kept the oats in there too. And that was, the wood was, he had enough wood so that we had what we called a summer and a winter wood. Summer wood, when they wanted to build a quick fire and a stove, because that's all they had to cook by, see. They didn't have any gas or anything back then. And so we'd use white birch and they could make, to get the meals with, they could get a quick meal. That one there is when Warren first had the 4th of July celebration. And that's what they called the 90 Club. That was my grandfather, he was 96. This woman here, Ella Duvall, lived to be 107 years old.
My gosh.
Yep.
And who's next to your grandfather? Is that his brother?
Hod Elliott, Frank Blake.
Oh, I've heard about him.
Yeah, Frank Blake.
He had the blacksmith shop.
Yeah, he had the blacksmith
shop. And Earl Fuller.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, that's...
And who's this here?
This is Parsons, her name was, I think. Andrew Parsons' mother. Yeah. They used to ride in a special car. They always...
It was Lula somebody.
Huh?
Wasn't that? Oh, I don't know. You know more about
that. Oh, no, Mrs. Duvall.
Duvall, that's what I was
thinking. Yeah, well, she's a... 107 years old.
Our youngest. Our first child.
Yeah. We had three in 3 years.
That's pretty good.
We had this old horse, Billy, and we used him just to drive like that. We could take him out. This is my sister here. This is me with a doll. I went from a doll to a baby. Just about. You the neighbor's children. Some of them were all Jocelyn's, all these.
Mm-hmm.
In here. That's me and my doll again, of course.
Oh, that's great.
She was part of the house. That's my mother and father in the
Oh, that's nice. And this?
This is my mother and my oldest sister. There's more families. My grandmother, my mother's mother, and it's my sister.
Yeah, this is this a Moriarty?
Or? She was a Moriarty, yes, so she was married to a Boyne. This is my grandfather, my grandmother and grandfather Baird, and this is my father and his brother. These are all his brothers, there were five of them. This is me, his holding him. There's the, no, it's the same one.
That's the same one, yeah.
That's the Klassen's grandmother, grandfather, Richardson.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And that's them again, and this is his grandmother, grandfather, Irish.
On the farm.
Yes.
Boy, it's clear in those days.
I know that. That was my mother and father. I think that was the day she got her engagement ring. I think that's what the story
was. Oh,
she was so shy. My grandfather. And this is a more recent picture of a deer.
Yeah. Nice, big one.
My sister and I.
Do you figure the deer population has declined?
Of course, I'm strictly against doe hunting. I'm strictly.
Is that you with a dress on?
Yep.
It's Clausen and his sister Madeline.
Uh huh.
I got one there where I went to school when my pants are torn
right
up with the wood.
Right,
that's
here.
A pair of pants I wore to school backside too. No, they were all made then, and hell, we was happy, you know. Was...
There's a sign of snow.
Yes, I guess.
Did you put your car up for the winter?
Oh, God, yes.
At that time, they were in their teens. They were as tall as I was.
By the 1st of November, anyway, we always put it right up. Took the battery out and jacked it right in the air and left it and never took it out till May again.
This is Clausen's brother, Roger. Died a few years back.
How long you lived in Middlebury?
Or over since that? About 1959.
So it had to be before then.
And this was originally your grandfather's?
It was my grandfather, Moriarty, sold it to, to his father, James Baird. And that's down in back of the barn.
Wonderful photograph.
Yeah.
Now, did you have somebody come? This must be an old glass plate.
It probably is, yes.
Now this, you can't even see this now. It's built up because it's Ski Valley Acres now. There's a lot of building up in there, a lot of houses. But this is nothing but trees. Doesn't look the same at all. And the barn is gone, and it's...
It's got a... Ski Valley Acres, is that going down here?
You go through the covered bridge.
Uh-huh.
And go up on, you know where Ed lives, on Ed's farm? Or
yes,
that?
Yes.
Well, it's on that same hill.
Over toward the Von, between Ed's and the Von Trapp farm.
On that same hill.
Wow, that's a nice photograph.
It's too bad.
This was kind of an interesting picture, I thought. It was the...
Oh, look at this.
That was my grandmother and my grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
And this was his father, James Baird, and this was her father, Grandpa McLaren. And these are the five sons, their sons. And this is my father here.
Uh-huh. And your father was?
Earl Baird.
Earl.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did one of these brothers do the mill down?
No, they're related. not too awfully close, Andy and...
No, well, they were, your father and Andy were...
About third cousins.
Third cousins, about third cousins, yeah. Yeah, yes, just about third cousins, about same as we are. Third, fourth, fifth.
None of our children are foolish anyway.
Yeah.
Clarence Strong, Ina's Goodyear's father, he used to come over to her folks' house once in a while. Well, when her mother and father, well, it was after they'd been married quite a while anyway, her father used to come up from the barn in the morning and he'd rap on the door.
It wasn't just in the morning,
no,
he'd have to do it most any time.
He'd rap on the door and she'd go to the door and there he was. She would expect to be somebody else.
Well, she said she'd get her, to hear her tell, she said, I'd take off my apron, get my company face on and go to the door
to
be my father. Well, he pulled that on her so several times.
Yeah.
So I'll tell it now,
yeah,
okay? So that one day this somebody rapped at the door and she'd had it so many times, she said, I'm gonna fix him this time. So she got a glass of water and got some water in it and she got right in behind, there was a place where it was closed in and they used to hang their coats. And she got in there and said, come in if your face is clean. And the door opened and she let the water go and it was Clarence Strong from Over in East Warren. He said, well, I don't know whether it was clean when I left or not, but it is now.
This is Ina?
Ina's
father.
Yeah. Oh, he was a character. That man was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Witty, I never saw. Oh, God, he was.
My father was funny, too. He was a witty man.
But there's a lot of, let's say, those old-timers we get to. Got Harry Smith that used to live up on the ground. God, he knew everything. He could remember everything just as plain as could be.
Yeah, I visited with him one day.
Yeah.
I guess about 78, and I always meant to go back, and of course I never did. Great guy.
Yeah.
He was witty, and he was...
We have a lot of... So many stories, and I guess as you get older, so many things that have happened, you know, that in your life or that you that you don't remember, but you've heard about that you.
No,
family.
She's going down to see Bob Gove, but when we was in high school, I'd like to tell this one about Elwin Neal and Bob Gove, and Ed and I all stayed together down to this one house as you go into Waitsfield. Cost $1 a week for staying. The woman, we were supposed to have her own food, but she got most of it anyway. Well, this Elwin Neal is a character. He was something, still is, as far as that goes. But we was there, and Mrs. LaMorta made bread and donuts, and sometimes she'd be up all night long cooking, baking for people, selling to people. And Elwin said to Bob Go one night, Bob was going with this girl in Waitsfield up back to the Masonic Hall, and he says, by God, Bob, he says, you've been getting in kind of late at night. He says, 10 o'clock or later every night. You know, he said, but God, I want you home early. Just kidding him. So I want you home early tonight. Bob says, I will, Neely. Neely boy, he says, I'll be there. Well, after Bob had gone and come, we sat there and studying, I guess, and all of a sudden Elwin come down upstairs and he had these two sheets in his hand. What the hell are you going to do? I said, you come with me, never mind what I'm going to do. So I went out and he says, I'm going to fix that Bob Gove, because Bob was scared to death in the dark, you know. And he says, you come with me. So I went, it was in the spring of the year, and I put the inside of my jacket. And we went down and we got right where you go around into Waitsfield Village there, now the old village. And there used to be, of course, a telephone office, and everything used to be there before it burned. Well, that ledge still comes down where you go up to the dial office, where my son works. And Elwin says, I'm going up there. And he said, of course, it was a gravel road, too, and a main road. And he said, I can watch him when he comes down to Newcomb's house. And he says, I'll let you know. And he said, you just put the sheet up over your head. And he said, you stand right down by the road, right down there. And when he gets by there, he says, you just move that and make a little noise. Well, Elwin hollered, he says, he's coming. He's just coming out of the house. So So Bob started down off whistling away to beat hell. It was just one stoplight on the whole street. When he got there by the old fire station telephone office, why, yeah, I went up on top of the big ledge. He went with the sheet. Didn't say a word, just looked at it. Bob happened to catch his eye, and he saw it. He started jogging. Yeah, I went, ooh. Bob took off. Well, of course, he didn't have to go much more than 100 feet before he was to me. Well, he was going pretty good when he got to me. And when I stepped up, Jesse went by, ooh, and my God, I wish you could see him. He took off, and Elwin come down, folded the sheets up, put them in his coat, walked up through, and Mrs. Lamore, we went in, and it was about 11 o'clock, I guess, or so. Mrs. Lamore said, my God, what happened to Bob? Elwin says, what do you mean? Well, she said, look at my new screen door. She just had a brand new screen door. Bob went right through it, never even opened it up. He was just scared. Here he was upstairs in bed with all his clothes on. Elwin said, what's the matter with you? Oh, God, I just saw a ghost down here. I don't know how long it went before Bob ever found out what happened.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, oh, God, yes, we used to.
So shall I ask him about that?
Yeah. He'll remember it. He knows it.
Oh, dear. Well, yeah, you were talking about making your own fun, mm-hmm. and the humor. There just seemed to be much more of it around.
Oh, yeah.
And sort of one-upsmanship and, mm-hmm. you know, trying to...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will ask him about that.
It's wonderful the way it used to be, but I don't know. I say we used to have... Well, Florence said, we just had to make our own. I never went to a movie after I was in high school. I never saw a movie. Well, I won't say that. We used to have what they call medicine shows or something in Warren. And I guess they did probably show maybe movies or so. We down once in a while to them, but it wasn't very, very seldom that we ever went.
Now, would they come in the wintertime?
Yes, that's when they usually follow the year and long towards winter, they usually came. That's when those medicine shows, and then they'd sell medicine, you know, nothing but a bottle of water, and they'd sell it to people. And God, yes. That old Earl Fuller, I don't know whether he ever told you about, he probably wouldn't tell it, but Steve Jocelyn used to have Fletcher's father. Used to have the grist mill where Miramar Ski Club is now, and he had 7 or 8 cows up where Betty Hyde lives there on the hill and before you get cemetery. My brother-in-law and I always used to take care of him, and he was always dickering, you know. This one owed him for grain, and because he was the only man in town that had any grain. He served war in Wheatfield, Feaston, everywhere. All of the grain came out of there. Well, this Earl Fuller owed him for some grain, so he went up to see Earl up on the farm up here one time. That's where Earl went up to war. And he said, God, Earl, he said, I wish you'd pay me. He says, somehow. He said, Steve, you can't get me a little bit of money. Well, he said, I'll tell you, Steve. He said, I've got a cow that a man, I've just traded with a man. Cow's going to be here tomorrow. And he says, you come up and he says, you can take a look at it and see what you think. Well, Earl did. He had his cow come, so he took a old bicycle pump, and he pumped the cow's bag up. Here she was, great big bag, look at, you know. Steve went up, took a look at her. God, he says, Earl, that's a nice cow. He says, she give a lot of milk. He says, you give milk? Boy, Earl says, she gives a good little mess of milk. Don't think she doesn't. So Steve says, well, I'll take her. Send his truck up by the afternoon, took her down. Steve went out and milked her that night, and he could have gave about a pint of milk out of her. Squeezed it, $10, the air would come out, and all it was. Steve said, he called him up, he said, I got it. He said, I thought you said this cow give milk. Earl says, I didn't lie to you. He said, I told you she'd give a good little mess of milk.
Oh, dear. Yeah, well, he told me, too, about...
thinking about my father's one and only experience on the radio.
Oh, yeah.
Well, my father had a brother who had a store in Hanover, New Hampshire. Well, he had this idea. He came up here, and he wanted to have go on a WDEV, you know, this little promotion thing, I suppose. So he got them all together. Uncle Clyde was going to sing a solo. My father was going to sing a solo, and the uncle in the Hanover played the trumpet, and he was going to play a trumpet.
And your mother was on the...
My mother was playing the piano.
Yeah.
And my father was singing this song, and he got it, and he knew the song, but he had the words, you know, in front of him just in case, but he knew the words anyway. Well, he was singing along, and all of a sudden he couldn't remember the words, and he said, "Where in hell the damn words?" And this came out on the radio. My uncle was playing his trumpet, and he'd blow the saliva out, and that would make an awful noise. That came out to him. Well, he said they made quite a hit. The people in Waitsfield heard it anyway.
Oh.
It was their one and only.
Oh, that's funny.
It was funny at the time.